This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
3rd of September, a day I'll always remember. Yes, I will, 'cause it was the day.
Of course, in a weekend where the Blues just galvanized the city, the Cardinals win a series, or the Brewers coming in town, all the text lines are about shows and food. And you know what? I did make a mistake. Ozark is off my list, and Ray Donovan is on. Okay, that was my mistake.
Fair. Yeah, that's probably number one for you now, isn't it? Ray Donovan?
I don't know. The Sopranos is making a late rush on the end.
What are you in right now? Like
Season 5, Episode 8.
Okay, so you've really tore through these.
You're near the end then. You got, I think, 6 seasons is what it ran. So
yeah.
I mean, so many storylines, hard to pick which one. It's almost that, like seasons are just in it. Like,
I mean, when I walk in last night at 11:15 and Monique is humming the theme from The Sopranos and says, let's go, I mean, just – we're just –
it's fun for the whole family, right, Frank, if you're 18 or older.
I did want to say I did not mention this in the opening monologue, and I should because it's one of the big stories. On Saturday morning, the great people from MLS for the Lou did release the stadium renderings. And I don't know if you've seen them, but let me just give you a couple highlights. The roof is translucent. It covers the fans, but it still lets in light. Really looks cool. The field is 40 feet below street level, and every seat is within a 120 feet of the field. Every seat. 120 feet is not that far away. Also, they're going to have this thing called Gateway Plaza, which will be like a big watch party area with shops and restaurants and all sorts of things. So they've hit a home run. I mean, think about this, guys. What did you really think when you combined worldwide technology with enterprise? I mean, did you think you were going to get a Shaq? You know, you think those two companies combining.
It's pretty spectacular, actually. I'm no soccer fan or, you know, I haven't
but
traveled.
But I could picture you in that Gateway Plaza having a couple of cocktails.
See, I think I would enjoy a live soccer atmosphere. I'm new to the game. We didn't even have it in our high school where I grew up. So coming down here, you know, the passion that people have for soccer, I didn't really understand. The renderings look absolutely phenomenal. And anything that can get infrastructure where that area is currently is a huge win for St. Louis.
Like, I get that sports aren't the be-all, end-all for city development, and you need more than just that, but I do like the idea because you'll have kind of a straight line, Busch Stadium, Enterprise, MLS, and in between there, the renovated Union Station, and then not too far west from MLS, you'll have the brand-new City Foundry, which should be open, all of that done and open by the time this MLS stadium opens up. So that's it's just reasons to go downtown, adding to it.
That's, it all could be on the same night, too.
Yes, yes, and that's what's nice about this. I like that. I love the idea of them spicing up Midtown. It's reasons to go back downtown.
I love the look in when they show evening games in these renderings. The lights, like you said, worldwide technologies, obviously you're going to have the most advanced. It looks absolutely stunning. I give them props.
All right. We're going to get Mr. Federico on in just a moment. Stephen Wildwood shoots and scores with this text here, Plazzi. Nice that Frank knew let's go meant watch TV. Oh.
Steve is very creative, and we all miss that.
That's good. That's very good. Let's see what else here. The first time in NHL history that two number one seeds bow out. How about that?
And the first time I think a last place team by January 1st has made the second round of the playoffs in the modern era, I do believe it, for the Blues. So.
Yeah, the NHL playoffs are off to a terrific beginning. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to talk some NHL playoffs with the Hall of Famer. He's one of the great St. Louis Blues players of all time. You can see him on Blues broadcast. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's Bernie Federico. Bernie, good to be with you. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. I'm doing great, thanks. Beautiful weather. How can it not be nice?
Are you going to be hitting that little white ball today?
No, I wish. Unfortunately, no, not today.
All right, we have so much to discuss. First of all, the arrival of Jaden Schwartz, how much did this stun you, or did you think in the back of your mind, you know, sometime this skilled player is going to break out of it?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, I think we all understood that J.D. Schwartz was having an off year. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, he scored, what, 10 goals during the regular season. Things were just not going his way. And he's still, you know, in a situation where he's still being used on the second line, still, you know, killing penalties, being out there in the power play. They still had the faith in him that eventually that the puck is going to start going in the net. And for him, it was great. It came at the right time. I mean, he came late in game five, and of course, game six is history as he gets the hat trick. So, I mean, here's a guy that has proven over the course of the last first 3 or 4 years of his career that he can score and that he will score. And sometimes you're having a bad year and things aren't going your way. It's not that he wasn't getting chances, Frank. So finally the puck starts going in, and hopefully it'll continue to go in because it's a very fragile game, this game of hockey.
What'd you think of the line change where Schenn plays with Schwartz now?
That was I thought that was really a big key to the series because it looked like Winnipeg had things shut down. They were doing all the things. I mean, when you look at the skill level of Winnipeg, obviously they've got some great skill, and I think the matchups were starting to favor Winnipeg. And I think when they decided to go back to Shannon center and put Schwartz and him back together, I think it opened up instead of having all your, I guess, your birds in one nest, you open it up a little bit, and they had two lines that I think had a little more ability to score from two different, you know, types of play, and I think it worked, and I think it was really one of the keys for the Blues winning the series.
Bernie Federico with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. You've played with some great goalies. You've played against some great goalies. I know it's really, really early in the tenure of Jordan Binnington, but what really does jump out at you?
Just the confidence that he has. I mean, it's obviously a small sampling. He's only played, what, 30 or 35 games now in his career, but I've been very, very impressed. In fact, I met his mom and dad after the game the other night, and I just told them how impressed I was. Just the demeanor that he has does not get rattled. I mean, a lot of that stuff that came out, you know, from his junior years, I mean, came out before the first game of Winnipeg, and then all the chanting in Winnipeg every time he touched the puck, are you nervous or whatever it is. I mean, he is just like, it doesn't faze him at all. I mean, here's a kid that works his tail off, and he's been through so much, Frank, too. I mean, he was really like the odd man out in the organization, really. I mean, they had to look for a place for him to play when he ended up in Providence last year, and then all of a sudden now here he is. He's worked his way back into a situation where, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, at least that I don't see right now. I mean, down low, I keep talking about, I mean, his lateral movement has been unreal from post to post. You can't beat him down low because he's so focused. I love the way he challenges. He gets aggressive. He comes out to the front of the paint. He's got that glove up all the time. It seems that he forces players to shoot right into his catching glove. So right now, I mean, he's got so much confidence and he's got so much resiliency. I think he fits in with the team very, very well because he just sloughs everything off. If a goal goes in, you can forget about it very, very quickly and go on to the next step. And I've been just very impressed just with the demeanor that he has.
Have you seen anybody, or when's the last time you've seen a Blues player as complete as Ryan O'Reilly, or what we've seen all season long?
Boy, I don't know when we've seen a guy like that. I mean, he's been so impressive, Frank. I mean, I didn't know a lot about Ryan O'Reilly other than the fact, I mean, you know, we saw him really as a young player when he was with Colorado. Of course, with the Stastnys being friends of ours, I've been able to talk to Paul about him. When he was first started, when Paul was still playing with Colorado. But, I mean, since Ryan went on to play with Buffalo, we see them, what, twice a year, so didn't really know a lot about him. And I've been so impressed with every facet of his game. I mean, the way he plays defensively, the way he's passes the puck, the way he shoots the puck, where he just carries a pawn, you know, himself around the ice. I mean, he's just a confident guy that really – the confidence exudes to the rest of the guys that play with him. So no one works harder than him. He doesn't get outworked in any game. So I don't know when the last time we've had a complete player like that. In fact, I don't know who you could even compare him to.
Do you see some of his, like, hard work and those practices after practices? Do you think that's kind of changed the culture?
I would say somewhat, especially for the young guys. I mean, anybody, when you're a young kid and you're coming in and you're seeing a guy that's so well respected like Ryan O'Reilly, and then all of a sudden you see the work ethic that he puts in, and I think he because he's staying out after practice or getting there early, I think it puts pressure on the younger kids, especially that they need to be out there. If he's working on his game, why can't they do it? And yeah, I think that presence of his hard work and just all the little variations that he does in practice, I think that's really, really brought a whole new level to the young players on this team. And I think that going forward, that even bodes better for the organization because, I mean, all of a sudden you've got these young kids that are learning from a guy that's been around for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, even as he gets older, the younger kids hopefully will continue to have that same work ethic and bring the other new kids that are coming in into that same frame of mind as well.
Now, your last year, I believe, was 1990, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So did your career, you were on the ice at times against Craig Berube, correct?
Yes.
How do you remember him as a player?
Well, I just remember him. I mean, obviously, I mean, you knew who all the tough guys were, and Craig was one of the was one of the tough guys in the league. I mean, here's a guy that was willing to drop it with anybody, and you know, again, I mean, I thankfully I wasn't in a situation where I had to try to drop my gloves ever with him. But I mean, he made his name by being a hard nosed guy, a real team guy. I mean, that's exactly what he's doing now with this hockey club, Frank. I mean, he's the guy that really preaches a teamwork, and he's the guy that is in a situation where, I mean, there has to be accountability. I mean, his whole career was played with the accountability of making sure that no one got run, no one did things to the team that was going to affect the team. And that was, if it was going to affect the team, that it was his reason for him to jump in and make sure no one was taking an advantage of it. And I think that's kind of, he's brought that philosophy to the Blues right now, is that it's one for all for one. Everybody's sticking up for each other. Everybody is making sure that they get the best out of the player that's next to them. And I think that's a really kudos to Craig Berube for doing that.
Do you remember a fight with him with one of your Blues teammates?
Well, I've seen a lot of the tapes. I don't written off the top of my head, no, but I've seen a lot of the tapes that even on the Jumbotron there that they play, before the games and this. And I've seen a lot of the different fights that he's had, and there's a few that they've stood back and just punched the hell out of each other for two or three minutes, which is pretty impressive in itself.
Yeah, I was watching one last night with he and Ty Domi, and then. Then afterwards, Berube tried to take on all of Domi's teammates on the bench. He was taunting them and the fans. It was crazy.
Well, he's a very spirited guy. He's a quiet guy when you talk to him, but get him in the heat of the action, and he wasn't going to back down from anybody.
And then his leadership skills, I know you touched on it there. The Blues have had some chatty head coaches like a Hitchcock or even an Andy Murray. Berube does not seem like a man who wants to waste his words.
No, I would agree with that, Frank. I mean, he's very soft-spoken. I mean, even with we have the meetings with him after the press conferences all the time, and he's very straightforward all the time. I mean, he tells us exactly what he's thinking. He's telling us what kind of his game plan is, and very approachable, very, very much wanting to give us the information that what he's trying to tell his own players. I mean, a very honest guy. And I mean, it's kind of funny. He's basically saying, his really game plan for his players all the time is just to play. You know what you're supposed to do, play for each other and go out there and do the job that everybody gets paid, that everybody pays you for. And I think that really is what really professional sports are all about. I mean, the guys get here by being the best at the business, and you put them all on one team and everybody has a role. And if you all play your roles for each other instead of just for yourself, I mean, the old cliche, you play for the crest on the front of the jersey, not for the name on the back. And I think that's what he's got everybody doing. And I think that's why they've been very, very successful.
You know, it's interesting, Bernie, because he has a chance to become like one of the most beloved sports figures we've ever had in our town if this thing continues. And yet, you know, in St. Louis, nobody really knows much about him except the fact that he had this long and courageous playing career. I know he's married with three kids. What else about him do you know?
Not a lot. I mean, he's a very quiet guy. He's really a guy that doesn't want the limelight. And I mean, it's obvious. I mean, I don't know if you watched the end of the game the other night. He just kind of kind of creeped off the bench and went down the locker into the locker room, came back and shook hands with, you know, the Winnipeg coaches. But he was real quiet. I mean, he wants no really part of the glory. I mean, he lets the players take the glory. They're the ones that are doing the job on the ice, and I think that's just his demeanor. He's a guy in the background that has a big voice in the locker room. I mean, even, you know, I think one of the reporters asked him a question about, you know, do you go in the locker room and say much? He said, no, I go in there the one time, say what I'm supposed to say, and, you know, the guys run the room. I mean, here's a guy that played over 1,000 games. He knows how the room is supposed to be run. I mean, there's guys in the room that run the room. The coach doesn't come in and run the room. He has his voice, and then he leaves and lets the message being portrayed by the rest of the leaders in that locker room. And I think Craig understands that well from being one of the leaders in the locker room. He knows what it is that he's leaving that up to the rest of the guys. So I think that he's just done a wonderful job with the way he handles the players.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was in the stands and I just put my iPhone on, just focused and zoomed in on him as the clock was winding down. And you're right. He shook one hand and then abruptly walked off the bench and into the locker room. And then about a minute later, realized, wait a minute, I'm supposed to shake hands. And he came back out. But it was almost like Herb Brooks in The Miracle on Ice just took off and went out of there.
You don't want to, and I think it'll be different. Obviously, it's going to be different if they could win the 16th game, Frank. But yeah, I think he understands too that there's a lot more work to be done, and he doesn't want to. I guess I don't even want to word gloat or whatever it is. You enjoy the moment, but there's lots more work to be done, and I think that's just the way he is. And I think that's great for the players too, because when you have, I mean, it's great to have a rah-rah coach sometimes, and that gets really excited. I guess there's times that you have to have a coach that gets really excitable too. I mean, I think he was, and when he was pretty sour after the first couple of games in Winnipeg at the end of the game, walking across the ice there, he was not happy with the way the end of the games were. With all the little stuff going on, he doesn't like that. I mean, if you're going to drop your gloves, you're going to do something, do it right there. Don't do it after the fact. So I think that he carries a different type of a personality when it comes to that. And I think it's just really, really, it's different for this hockey club, especially, changing from a guy like Ken Hitchcock, as you mentioned. So I think this is really a great change. And I think the guys are really enjoying the way he handles the team.
The numbers indicate the Blues would have more success against Nashville in the next round, as opposed to Dallas. If you were in charge, and I know you want what's best for the Blues, who would you want to see?
Well, that's a hard question to answer, Frank, because, I mean, we all know that, and I think everybody has talked about it, when you are one of 16 teams to make the playoffs, everything's dead even. Doesn't matter what happened during the regular season, doesn't matter what the last time that you played each other. I mean, I think that you just throw all that away. Obviously, the Blues had more success during the regular season against the Nashville Predators, but the Nashville Predators had more points than the Dallas Stars. I mean, I think the right now is that, I mean, you've got two great goaltenders. I mean, Pekarinen won the Vezina last year as the top goaltender in the league, and I think Benny Bishop may win it this year. So you've got great goaltending. I think that Benny right now, Bishop, is would be harder to play against. I personally would rather play against Nashville for that reason. I think that Benny Bishop right now is playing very, very much better than Pekarinen. He's also from St. Louis, and I think he's more motivated playing against the Blues because he was a part of this organization at one time as well. So, and then, I mean, when you look at the way Ben and Sagan have played and Radulov in Dallas, they're a very, very hot line. So, I mean, I think that the Nashville Predators got a lot of skill on that team, but it seems that they really can't find their way right now. They're a team, though, that can turn it on. If they find their game, they could be very, very dangerous. So I think whoever the Blues have to play is going to be very dangerous. I mean, both teams are very, very good. Both teams are obviously going to be confident. If the Blues have home ice advantage, I like that too when they're playing against Dallas. But they've proven that they can win on the road if they have to go to Nashville to start. So I really like the Blues' chances no matter who they play, Frank, because of the way the style of play that they're playing right now.
Final thought, and I know you're not the schedule maker, but if Dallas were to wrap it up tonight, could we see a game one as early as Wednesday in St. Louis?
I would probably say no. I think it would probably be at least Thursday. That's, I'm just thinking because, you know, right now with the Boston, Toronto, I mean, they don't have the game seven is going to be Tuesday. And then obviously tomorrow night, with Nashville, or I should say San Jose and Vegas will wrap up tomorrow night as well. And then depends on what happened tonight, even Washington and Carolina are playing. If Carolina should win tonight, there's going to have to be a game seven on Wednesday for the East. So I can't see the playoffs, the next round starting until Thursday or Friday. That's what I would be thinking, but I'm not the schedule maker too. But I would guess that it's probably Thursday or Friday would be the earliest that they would start the next round.
Bernie, great stuff. Honored to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure. You have a great day.
All right. The great Bernie Federko, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. All right, let's take a short time out. McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, is offering a hot deal this month during their spring sales event. Buy a new McBride home in April and receive $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. McBride is also offering huge savings on over 100 quick move market homes. If you need a home in a hurry, this is the place to go. And I'm telling you, you don't find better homes than at McBride Homes. They have these huge walk-in closets, huge, I mean, master bathrooms and master bedrooms. They just know what people want in 2019. With nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, there are homes for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Homes to fit every lifestyle and design with you in mind. Visit McBrideHomes.com for the details on their spring sales event. Some texts and some phone calls when we come back.